know if you realize this or not, but there is actually a term for people that are not touched as much as they should be, like a hug or an embrace or a handshake. There's actually a word for that, or two words that I found. It's called touch deprivation or skin hunger. Think about that. You know, there are some people in the world that don't get hugged as much as they should. They don't get a handshake or any type of embrace or any type of touching at all in an appropriate way, in an appropriate way. And they experience certain things. Now, according to an article that I was looking at, there's seven things that can show that a person may be touch deprived or have skin hunger. Number one, aggressive behavior. Body image issues. Third, a high stress level. Loneliness. Mental health issues such as depression. Sexual dysfunction. And lastly, a fear of attachments and unsatisfying relationships. Now you say, preacher, why are you talking about people that need to be hugged more? Well, today we're going to talk about, as we continue in our series on the role of a father, remember we're spelling out the word fatherhood, right? We've been on this a little bit, but we're on the H today. The role of a father. A father hugs his children. A father hugs his children. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more, not just about hugs, but we're going to talk a little bit more about affirming and loving and having compassion toward children. Now, I found also, according to one article that I looked at, that like in 1248, like that's been a good while back, wouldn't you say? A good while back. In the year 1248, that there was an emperor. Actually, he was a German emperor, Frederick II. He decided to do an experiment on what the effects of children would be if they were not spoken to or if they were not touched over time. And so he took a bunch of children from their parents, put them under guardians with strict instructions and say, you know what, don't speak to this child and do not touch this child and we'll see what happens. You know, from what I understand from that, every single child died before they could speak. You think about that. Is there a value in children being hugged and touched and embraced and encouraged in their life? I'd say absolutely, wouldn't you? Now, sometimes we as dads, we got this macho syndrome. We got this macho syndrome thing going. And believe me, I know all about it, Kyle. I'm as macho as they get. Did I hear you? My wife laughed the loudest. And my son laughed the second loudest. Jason's too far away for me to hear. But, you know, sometimes we as men, we got to be really careful about this macho thing. Really, we do. You know, we're too macho to hug our children. We're too macho to hug our grown children. We're too macho to show them any affection at all. Now, I don't believe that's what God intended for us fathers to be or to do. Seriously, it is important that we affirm our children by hugging them and showing them affection. We're going to talk about that today. If you'd turn in your Bibles to Psalm 103, Psalm 103. In Psalm 103, as we look at today, we're going to find out that God is likened to a father. In Psalm 103. Now, I hope that you've discovered that these roles of fatherhood, a role of a father that we've been talking about, are all very biblical. And if you look at the different passages, now some of them are very obvious, such as Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, the role of a father. But there's other things in Scripture that also allude to what fathers ought to be doing. And this is one of them that's probably overlooked in a lot of ways. Again, the role of a father hugs his children. Look, if you would, to Psalm 103, verses 13 to 18. Psalm 103, verses 13 to 18. It says, like, now they're describing God, okay, our Heavenly Father. Notice it says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. You see, the purpose of the psalm is to describe God. And God is being compared to we as fallible, frail human beings. And he says that God knows our frame. In other words, he knows that we're frail. We flourish for a little bit, the wind comes along, and poof, we're gone. So that's one reason that I'd say it's important for all of us to be the parents that God wants us to be. You know, the time that we have that pivotal influence passes so quickly. Plus, we are passing off this world, and it completely blows my brain, and it blows the brain of most preachers that I know, how basically flippantly we can treat God in our lives. I mean, life is but a vapor. It appears for a moment and then disappears. And yet most of us treat God kind of like a heavenly bellhop. If I need him, I'll call on him. I don't want to be that kind of Christian. I want to be the kind of Christian that says, you know what, I am there for you, God. What do you want me to do? But in this passage, that was extra. It won't cost you anything more. That was just a little extra thought there. But it's comparing God to man and how frail man is and how big and everlasting God is. But in that first verse is what we're going to peel off of and talk about a bit. About how that it says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Now, in our modern English today, the idea of pity may not be the best way to come across there, may not be the best way to translate that word. The idea behind pitieth, now I looked that up in particular. That word, or the root of this word, is used 125 times in the Old Testament. That's quite a bit. The idea here, that word, that Greek word pitieth, used 125 times, that root of that word. This exact Greek word is found 47 times in the Old Testament. 47 times. This word means to love deeply, to have mercy, to be compassionate, to have tender affection, to have compassion. In other words, it almost like assumes that a father is going to do that within the family structure. Now, some of you might say, you know what, I'm not a father, I'm not a dad. But guess what? You're part of the family, right? You have people around you. You have people that you influence, right? Whether you're a grandparent, great-grandparent, or whatever. You have nieces and nephews, right? They all need to know that they're cared for. So this is a message series on fathers, but I think every single one of us can learn something from this to be a better parent or grandparent or aunt or uncle or guardian or whatever. But the Bible in this passage seems to assume that it's a good idea that dads care for or love their children. You see, it goes more than just hugs, but it's important that dads let their kids know that they love them. You say, well, preacher, I think that probably goes without saying. I've heard more than one child say in their life, or more than one adult say in their life, even when they're grown, my dad never said one time that he loved me. My dad never said one time that he was proud of me. And many of them would say, I'm sure, my dad never once ever hugged me. Let me tell you, we have an awesome responsibility before God. We've talked about a lot of different responsibilities. In fact, I'll review that for you right now. We've already talked about a bunch of responsibilities of a father. He furnishes the needs of his family. That's the F of fatherhood. The A, he admonishes, charges, urges, implores his children to do what's right and serve the Lord. the T, he teaches his children about the Lord, how to be saved and how to serve the Lord. The H, he heads or leads his family. It's part of who we're called to be and to do in a family unit. The dad is supposed to lead. The E, we looked at last Sunday morning, he encourages his children. R, he reassures or comforts his children. Today, a father hugs his children. In other words, from this passage, a father should love, show compassion to, show tender affection for their children, including hugs. But it does go, again, beyond hugs. But I do believe that you should show your children that you love them, that you care for them. If you agree with that, say amen. I want to make sure you're still awake out there. You know, we have an example to follow. Here it says, as the Lord pitieth his children, as the Lord pitieth them that fear him. You know, we have an example of the Heavenly Father. Aren't you glad that our Heavenly Father shows us compassion? Aren't you glad under that word pitieth that he shows us tender mercy? Aren't you glad that he shows us every day? You say, well, how does the Heavenly Father do that? Because I don't see him face to face. Granted, it would be nice to see him face to face, don't you think? But he shows us love every day. He shows us compassion every day. You say, well, how does he do that, preacher? I don't know about y'all, but are you still breathing? Go ahead, take a deep breath. It's good for you. Into the nose, out through the mouth, it's good for you. Guess who gave you that breath? God, the Heavenly Father, gave you that breath. Why? Because he cares about you. What about the sunshine that you see out there today? Who gave us that sunshine? Who gives us the rain? Now, let me tell you, junior camp, it was a bit warm this past week. It was over 90, I believe, at least 3 days. At least three of the days that we were there. But can I tell you a real blessing? One blessing of this camp. See, we went to a different facility. One blessing of this camp is our cabins were air conditioned. And guess what? The bathrooms were in the cabins. So you didn't even have to go to a hot bathroom. The bathrooms were within each cabin. And the assembly hall where we met, as at the other camp as well, but it's also air conditioned. So you can go out and get really hot and sweaty, but you can cool down. But you know what? God blesses us and shows his love and compassion toward us every single day. You know, the Bible says that every good gift we have comes from the Lord. Our families come from the Lord. Our health comes from the Lord. The air that we breathe, the sunshine we experience, when we have a good day, it comes from the Lord. Let me tell you, every good thing we have, every good thing comes from the Lord. And as our Heavenly Father, he's not shy about showering us with these blessings, right? To let us know that he cares about us. So what? Why sometimes do we as dads say, no, you know, I'm not going to show Junior that I love him. I'm not going to show Sally that I love her. No, that's not macho. You know, I need to stand kind of aloof from ever. No, that's not really the way I see God, our Heavenly Father, as our perfect example as being. Do you? You know, God could have been that kind of God. God could have been a very absent God that, again, just wound up the universe and said, have at it. But our God is active in our lives. Our God is active in showing us his compassion and his love toward us every single day. Does that mean we don't have bad days? No. But you know, God's compassion is consistent. God's compassion is real. God's compassion is ever before me, and I'm thankful for that. You know, ultimately, you know that the big and little blessings of life are given to us every day, it says. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Now, you probably know this verse, but notice this under the context of the compassion of a father. Think of the compassion of our Heavenly Father. Notice what it says. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Why? Because his compassions fail not. In other words, God's compassion toward us, our Heavenly Father's compassion for us never fails. And notice this, They are new every morning. God's compassions are new toward us every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You see, the Heavenly Father has set the example of showing us compassion all the time. The idea that every morning, it means it's ever new. God's compassion toward us, He loves us supremely, and He shows that. Ultimately, how did the Heavenly Father show His compassion for us? Well, John 3:16. That pretty much is the ultimate display of His compassion toward us, don't you think? It says, for God, what? So loved. It didn't say, for God loved the world, for God so loved the world. So loved, big love. So loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, our Heavenly Father, the point I'm trying to make is our Heavenly Father has set a perfect example of showing love to His children, even by sending His own Son to die on the cross for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, but God commendeth and demonstrates, is the word you want, shows His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, our Heavenly Father's not shy about loving us, about showing His compassion toward us. Yeah, it'd be great if He could come down in bodily form like Jesus and hug us every single day. That'd been great, wouldn't it? But He still shows us every day. Someday, we'll be with Him in person. Aren't you thankful for that? But our Heavenly Father, as our example, shows compassion to His children. Don't you think we dads ought to show compassion to our children as well? Let me encourage you. Let me pause here for just a moment. Let me encourage you. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you've never inherited the Heavenly Father as your Heavenly Father by trusting Jesus as your Savior, I'd encourage you to do that today. You know, Jesus gave His life as the Son of God upon the cross to pay for your sins, because you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. And when I put my faith and trust in what Jesus did for me and claim Him as my Savior, guess what? I become a child of the Heavenly Father. And I have a wonderful future to look forward to in heaven. And I have a purpose in this life to serve the Lord. And I have joy that only He can give me. And I have security in my life. I'm thankful for all the blessings of being a Christian. If you're not sure you're saved, let me tell you, today's the day to be saved. Let me tell you, right here is the place to be saved, to trust Jesus as your Savior, and you can inherit that wonderful Heavenly Father that showers us with blessings and showers us with compassion. Let's talk just a little bit more about us showing compassion to our children. A good earthly father lets his child know that he loves him. Hugs are a good way to show that, but you know there's other ways to show that you love your children. You know, there should be no doubt in the mind of your children or your grandchildren that you love them. Did you hear me? There should be no doubt. You know, we should say often, you know what? I love you, Junior. And you know, the type of love that we should have for our children should be the same type of love as best we can as humans. It ought to be an unconditional love. Do you know our Heavenly Father loves us with an unconditional love? If we've trusted Him, you know what? We cannot run away from the love of God. You know what? We cannot disappoint God so much that He says, you're no longer my child. You know, that unconditional love that the Heavenly Father shows us ought to be the type of love we show to our children, moms and dads, but the message is right at dad right today. Guess what? We need to love our children. You know, even when our children disappoint us, they're still our children. You know, I've had this question asked, and you know, this situation brought up, and please do not misunderstand what I am saying. What if your child just openly rebels against God? They're on their own. They're adult children. They rebel against God in their lifestyle, in their language, in every part. How should you treat them, preacher? Well, I think according to God's word, we ought to love them. Now, notice I never said, and I never will say, that we're to condone ungodly behavior. We're not. They should know exactly where we stand on it, because we should stand exactly where God stands on it, which is clearly in His Word, whatever type of sinful behavior we're talking about. But you know what? I don't think we are correct when we say we're going to withdraw our love from you because you are not making me happy with your decisions. I think our love should be unconditional, modeled after the unconditional love of our Heavenly Father. Now, is that clear? I mean, again, I don't want you to leave here and say, the preacher said it's all right for kids. No, I never said it's all right for kids to rebel against God. They will regret it, and there are consequences and all of that. If they don't know Jesus as their Savior, the future is not bright because there's only hell to look forward to. If they do know Jesus and they're rebelling in their own sinfulness, God knows how to take care of His children. God knows how to bring chastening into the life of that child. But as far as my role as a father, and I believe according to Scripture, we are continue to love them. Not condone, not endorse, not support in those sinful areas, but we are to love them. I'm thankful that God doesn't turn His love on and off in my life. I mean, just think about that for a moment. How frustrating would that be? How disheartening would that be if God turned His love on and off like a switch? You know, I get up in the morning and I think a mean thought. And I think, boy, that John Adams, now he's one mean dude. Now I'm going to get after him. And God says, okay, my love just went off. Click. Boy, that'd be bad, wouldn't it? Or what if I say something mean to Ken over here? I say, Ken, you know you're an old... No, let's not pick on Ken. Where's Tim at? Where's Tim? I don't see him. Where is he? He done left. He done got offended and left. I haven't even said anything about him today. Okay, Ken, you're on, buddy. What if I go up to Ken and say, Ken, you're nothing but an old, rotten, dirty rascal. And God says, flick, I don't love you anymore, Steve, because you just said something mean to Ken. Now think about that. That's not the way our Heavenly Father operates. I'm a child of His. I disappoint Him. I'm a sinner. That's not an excuse for sin. But that helps me understand what God, His love is unconditional. And the best way to be blessed and to be fully serving Him is to be surrendered and have those episodes where I think bad thoughts about John or say bad things to Ken to be less and less. But God's love is unconditional. It is consistent. And I believe the love of the Father, of a human, earthly Father, ought to be, as best we can, ought to be unconditional and ought to be consistent. And it ought to be obvious to your children. There should be no doubt in your children's minds whether you love them or not, even when you don't agree with them. You know what? Growing up, I have to tell you, I really don't remember my dad hugging me growing up. I don't remember that. Or if he did, he didn't do it much. And actually hearing him say that he loved me when I was growing up as a kid, I don't remember him saying that. But let me tell you, somewhere along the line, I knew he loved me, okay? My dad was a very strict dad. I mean, I didn't remember, he's the one that, all I had to do was look at my dad and I knew that I was doing something wrong. You know, and he'd look, if he had to use a word, that word was boy. And if he said boy, I knew that I was in trouble. Now, again, my dad, wonderful, wonderful dad, okay? But I don't remember him saying much as a kid that he loved me or hugging me much as a child, at least. Memories fade, but the best I remember, I don't remember that. But I do remember that when I kind of grew up and got away from home at college and jobs and all that, that kind of changed. You know, when I come home, first thing when I saw my dad, I'd hug my dad and he'd hug me. And we'd say before we departed, you know, I love you. We'd talk to him on the phone. It kind of changed. Now, I think that every dad ought to be able to tell their kids that they love them. You say sometimes it's kind of hard to say you love your kids. Well, it may be a little bit difficult, but can I tell you the benefits of telling your kids how much you love them is a huge benefit. If we don't let our kids know that we love them, you know what it brings in their life? Now, I mentioned some of those earlier, but I believe it brings insecurity. Really. And again, this applies to moms and dads, because I know some moms are pretty tough about that too. They don't show love much and they don't say much. They only say mean things. Instead of I love you, they say you're not going to amount to a hill of beans. You know, things like that. But you say, I believe when we don't tell our kids and show our kids through hugs and through things like that, that we love them, I think we breed insecurity in their hearts and lives. Really. Insecurity. I think it breeds low self-esteem. I think it breeds many times a feeling that I'm never going to measure up to what my dad or mom wants in life. Never going to measure up. Especially for girls, if you don't show your girl children that you love them, you know what? They're probably going to find that love somewhere else. Dads, how many times have you seen that? A very distant dad, and then as soon as a girl can on her own, she clings to some old boy because she craves that attention and that love and those hugs. It's important. It's important that a father hugs or loves, shows compassion to his children. You know, with our boys, you know, as far as I've learned, I don't feel I can tell my boys enough how much I love them. I think it's important. Whenever they come or go, as best I can, I hug them. I mean, I'm already missing them, and they're not even North Carolina. They're only going to be gone for a week, and I'm already missing them. And they know that. They know. I've already told both of them, and I'm missing you. You're not even gone yet. They need to know that Dad cares about them. It gives them such a foundation and a security in life. Now, some of you might be here, and you say, well, my kids are all grown. Is it ever too late to start letting your kids know, even in a better way? Now, I'm not suggesting that you've never told them you love them. I'm not suggesting that you never hugged them. But I am saying, I think most of us could probably do a little better, don't you think? I don't care if they're grown or whether they're 2 years old. Letting your kids know how much you love them by hugging them and kissing them on the cheek. I even kiss those old sweaty boys on the cheek sometimes. Can you believe that? When I hug them, say goodnight or something, there's nothing wrong with that. You need to let your kids know that you love them. A father hugs or loves his children, shows his children that he loves them, not only by the words that he says, but the actions that he takes. So I have a question for you today. Do you show your children, young or all grown up, that you love them by your actions, like hugs and words? Now, that can apply to moms and dads. Do you show your children, young or all grown up, that you love them by your actions like hugs and words? And question number two, do your children, young or all grown up, know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that you love them and always will? Do your children, young or all grown up, know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you love them and always will? You know, I'm going to kind of end with an illustration. You know, my dad grew up as a state child. Now, I don't think they use that term a whole lot now, but that's the one I remember hearing him say, which today means he is a foster child. My dad was a foster child. The family that was his main foster family, they seemed to treat him fine, but my dad felt that the main reason that this family had foster children was in order for them to work on the farm. And I remember my dad saying that 10 years old, he took a team of, he did this, I guess, on a regular basis. He would take a team of horses, 10 years old, Not like the junior campers we had at camp this week. Team of horses out in the woods and bring in timber with those horses. Probably some 70 years after that happened, my dad still recalled the time that as a little child, the state authorities came and took him and his siblings into the state's care. Now, this happened, it's an old coal town. I believe the name of it was Westerly, West Virginia. It's in Fayette County. Best I remember, we drove around there and all's left is the foundations of a few old coal houses that was part of that community. But in his recollection, some 70 years later, he remembered that day. Certain facts stuck out to him in particular. In his mind's eye, he still remembers his dad. As his siblings and himself were taken into state care, he still remembers his dad sitting on the porch in a chair with his feet propped up on the banister of the porch. You know, I know, according to the way my dad told it, that basically he remembered that my dad didn't even care enough to come and show any love or compassion or anything. He was kind of like in his own little world with his feet propped on the porch as his kids were being taken away. And that left an impression upon my dad for years and years, until he left this world. Now, in that situation, there were no hugs, there were no kisses, there were no words of love or compassion. And again, that stuck with him his whole life. How will your kids remember you? How will your kids remember you? Will they remember you as a distant, non-caring dad? Just like, you know, he was around, he provided for me. I imagine he cared for me, but he never said it much or never hugged me much or never supported me much. Or will you be remembered by your kids as a dad that showed how much he loved his kids through things like hugs and words like, "I love you"? I'd encourage you, dads, you play such a big role. Moms, you play such a big role in the life of your kids. Let's not let the world convince us that we're too big, too macho, whatever, to hug our kids, to tell our kids how much we love them. Because believe me, the way you treat them and the words you say leave an impression in their minds. That will either allow them to grow up and to be good examples of what a parent should be, or perhaps to grow up and be just like dad or just like mom. I guess I would end by saying, boy, what an awesome responsibility, but what an awesome privilege to show your kids and your grandkids and perhaps your great-grandkids how much